Blog Talk Radio.
Down and out. I guess it's just one of those days. I got a lot on my mind, trying to manage my time. Maybe you could come give me a hug and bring me back to life.
That I need a hug. I'm going through some things right now.
I need a hug, baby, and I need it from you right now.
I need a hug.
Oh, I need a hug. It's just one of those. Need to feel your arms around me, see your pretty face.
Hello everyone, you're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Today the interview is with Attorney Ronald L. Kuby. We will be discussing Mr. Wayne Williams. Mr. Wayne Williams, he was Mr. Wayne Williams' attorney back when he was first charged. I'm convicted. How are you doing, Ms. Attorney Ronald Kuby?
Good, Ms. Butler. Nice to speak with you. I represented Wayne Williams after he was convicted and after he lost his first appeal. We had discovered substantial new evidence indicating that he was innocent of not only the child murders, but the actual two murders for which he was convicted, those were not murders of children. Those, in fact, were murders of adults. And we began representing him along with the legendary William Kunstler back in 1985 and continued trying to get him exonerated all through the 1990s, ultimately unsuccessful.
Okay. If Mr. Wayne Williams was never found guilty of murdering any children, why was he dubbed the Atlanta child murderer when he was not even charged or convicted of the 1985 murder of those black children in Atlanta?
Well, that's an excellent question, and a question that many of the families of the murdered children have been asking now for decades and decades. What happened was, and you have to sort of go back to the situation in Atlanta at the time, back in late 1980, early 1981, there was a series of children who disappeared and were later found to have been murdered in various ways. After a while, it became the Atlanta child murders case. And as you might well imagine, citizens of Atlanta, particularly African-American citizens, because all the children were black, became increasingly concerned and desperate to find whoever this was who was doing this, or whoever they were who was doing this. At the same time, the authorities in Atlanta, many of whom were white, did not want a racial overtone to this case. Atlanta was busy billing itself as the city too big to hate. And they were, of course, extremely concerned that a white person would be implicated in these murders, and that would trigger substantial civil unrest, they feared. So they really wanted it to be a person of color responsible for this. So what happens? It was the night of May 22nd, 1981, where the police, who who were watching the bridge over the Chattahoochee River.
That's near Tallahatchie, Florida. That's near where I live at. It's state capital.
Yeah.
I'm 1 hour and 15 minutes from the state capital. Yes, sir, I know exactly where that bridge is. You have to cross it to go to Tallahassee, Florida, or Quincy, Florida.
Right. And they claim, the police claim they heard a big loud splash, which suggested to them, they later said, that something had been thrown off the bridge. The first car to exit the bridge after the splash was Wayne Williams' car. Now, they didn't find a body. They didn't go running down and dragging the river or following the current to see what the splash was. But they claimed they heard a splash, and they stopped Wayne Williams' car. He explained that he was going to, I think he was going to go meet somebody who he was going to be promoting as a musical artist. I don't recall the details. But that's how Wayne first became a suspect. Now, that we have to agree is nothing, right?
No.
It would be one thing if they heard a splash, they stopped Wayne Williams' car, they ran down, sent a recovery team immediately down to the Chattahoochee River, and recovered a body. That would be something.
Yes.
But none of that happened. But that's how Wayne Williams emerged on the radar of law enforcement. And from that point on, Wayne made a very, very convenient target for law enforcement attention. And one of the phenomena we now know to be true in the world of psychology, although it wasn't widely known then, is what's called tunnel vision on the part of law enforcement. Once they identify a suspect, it's almost as though they're looking through a tunnel at that suspect. They don't see any other possibilities besides the suspect, and they go looking for evidence that supports their theory of the suspect. One piece of evidence they found was an old man who claimed that he had seen Wayne throwing something off the bridge into the Chattahoochee River that night. Now, he didn't say that until Wayne became a suspect. And he was a very old man with not great eyesight. Oh, and by the way, did I mention he had a prior murder conviction?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot the prior murder conviction. So this is not, great stuff for law enforcement. Meantime, Wayne, being the kind of person that he is, was very much enjoying the very public attention. Even negative attention to people who are seeking attention is good. Yeah, to some people's minds. We, for example, have a former president who felt that way and still apparently feels that way. So it's not unusual, and Wayne was busy mocking law enforcement and holding press conferences and running around, publicly forcing law enforcement to chase him, and all in all was being a jerk. Well, there's obviously a much, much longer story, but ultimately Wayne was charged with the killing of two adults, Nathaniel Cater, who was a 27-year-old man, and Jimmy Ray Payne, who at that time was in his 20s as well. No children. So how did he become known as the Atlanta child murderer? What law enforcement did was to claim that these two adults were killed in the same way as 10 of the murdered and missing children. There were so many similarities among the 10 of the child murders and these two adult murders, so many similarities that only one person could have committed the crime. So therefore, they argued to the jury that if you find that Wayne Williams killed any of these people, then you can find him guilty of the two charges for which he was charged. Sort of wildly unfair, bringing in the child murders into the murders of two adults, but law enforcement was desperate to close this case. And they indeed convicted Wayne of the murders of the two adults. And then they closed the cases against the some 20-something murdered and missing children, announcing that they had got their guy, even though he had never been charged with any child killings. Cases were all now closed, and Atlanta could move happily along, being the city too busy to hate. Well, that solution, those answers, did not satisfy really anybody except those people who really wanted to move on.
It doesn't seem like there's enough evidence to convict, to charge anyone anything, because they heard a splash and his car was the first to exit the Chattahoochee Bridge here in Florida, not too far from where I live at. That doesn't seem to be enough evidence to me to charge anyone with anything.
It was not enough, but once you added the child murders to the case, there was no way in the world that Wayne was going to get a fair trial, because the focus wasn't on the two dead grown-ups. The focus, of course, was on the murdered and missing children. So it turns out, after Wayne was convicted and after he lost his appeal, it turns out that the FBI had been conducting its own parallel investigation into the murdered and missing children. And that investigation was kept secret from the Atlanta Police Department and other members of the Child Murder Task Force. The FBI was very concerned that if they shared the results of their investigation with local authorities, the results of that investigation would leak out, and that would be catastrophic. So what is it they were investigating? It turns out they had extremely reliable information from an FBI informer who had infiltrated the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan down there in Stone Mountain. And that informer was reporting that a group of Klansmen were involved in at least one, if not more, of the murders. Okay, well, that's fascinating information, but without more, there's really not enough. So the FBI went out to get more. And what they did was they wiretapped the Klansmen. They got warrants to wiretap the Klansmen. And they got one of them on a wiretap talking about going out and getting another little kid, which was pretty damning in the context of the information they were getting.
Can I ask you a question? Were these kids raped?
I'm sorry?
Were any of these kids raped?
The murdered and missing children?
Yes, sir.
No, they were all black.
Were they raped? Were they raped?
I'm sorry, Angela. I'm hearing the word white. Who was?
Raped.
Raped.
R-A-P-E-D. Were they raped?
No. None of the children were raped. There was no sign of sexual mutilation of any of the children, although that was one of the stories that was sensationalized. Although one of the Klansmen specifically identified a boy by the name of Luby Jeter, who had allegedly rammed his go-kart into the Klansman's automobile. And the Klansman told the informer, "You see that little N-word? I'm going to strangle him to death with my dick." Shortly after, Luby Jeter turned up dead. Luby Jeter had indeed been strangled. There was no sign of sexual assault, but Luby Jeter was considered one of the children that Wayne Williams had killed. The FBI kept this entire investigation, known as File 8400, kept it completely secret all through Wayne Williams' trial, all through his appeals, until it was sort of discovered through means I'm not in a position to go into. And that kind of blew the case wide open, because if the prosecution's theory was only one person committed all of these killings, and they had substantial evidence that the Klan was at least responsible for one.
How many children were there that were killed?
You know, there was never an agreement about that, Angela. What had happened was there was a list created of murdered and missing children. And some dead children made the list. Other dead children who were just as dead did not make the list. There was a very famous book written in the 1980s, early 1990s, called The List. And it detailed the politics behind which murdered child made it onto the list and which didn't. Ultimately, on the official list, I think there were over 20. There were a number of others who probably should have been listed, and some of those 20 probably shouldn't have been. But it was all, it wasn't a legal process by which the list was created. It was a very sort of political process as to what are the criteria for inclusion, what are the criteria for exclusion. You know, nobody really knows, but we do know one thing, which is after Wayne Williams was convicted, they stopped keeping the list. So people would say, well, I don't know if he did it or not, but child murders stopped after, you know, he was arrested. But of course, child murders didn't stop after he was arrested. They still haven't stopped. I mean, children continue to be murdered, both in Atlanta and elsewhere in America. But since they stopped keeping the list, then those child murders were no longer considered part of the pattern of murdered and missing children. And everybody moved on, except the families, many of the families of the dead children. And, of course, Wayne Williams moved on to a prison cell.
For how long, sir? Mr. Wayne Williams, how long?
He is still in prison. He is eligible for parole, but he's 64 years now, serving a life sentence, and I think he's been in since 1981. So that's a very, very, very long time.
So you did try to get him off. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if you can answer this or not. Do you believe he was guilty?
I have no idea. I try not to think too much or invest a belief in people's guilt or innocence. I have now been doing this for almost 40 years. Many people I thought were guilty turned out to be innocent. Many people I thought to be innocent turned out to be guilty. So I stopped thinking about it in that way. And what I do is think about it in terms of the evidence and the fairness of the trial. because that is something I can that is knowable to me. And I am completely convinced that the evidence did not support the convictions. I'm completely convinced that the trial was fundamentally unfair. And I'm completely convinced if Williams' defense team knew then all of the things that we have discovered since, he would not have been found guilty. As to whether or not he did it, it's just unknowable to me. But I have no confidence in the verdict.
Okay, well, I know that he's demanding answer now. Mr. Wayne Bertram Williams is demanding answers. I do know that. He has spent over 40 years in prison. He's convicted of murdering two men while being presumed guilty of murdering over 20 children, 22 or more children. So he is saying that he's innocent. That is what he is saying. And he has a new attorney named Attorney Janice Mann. So that's why I'm doing the interview with you. I wanted to know the beginning of it, the middle of it, and what's going on currently. So he's still maintaining his innocence.
So we, the defense team that I was a part of, we went as far as we could go with the new evidence that we uncovered. We went all through hearings in state court. There I was down in Butts County in front of the Honorable Hal Craig, looking all, you know, like, as somebody said, some New Yorker with a yard of hair. And we did everything we thought we could throughout the 80s and 90s, and they just were not going to let this one go. They just were not going to let it go.
Okay.
I've seen cases like that in the past where it doesn't matter what the evidence shows, they're not going to let it go. Now, shortly before the pandemic, the mayor of Atlanta announced that she wanted to do a reinvestigation of the case. And wanted all of the agencies who were involved in the case, Atlanta Bureau of Police Services, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and all the others, to begin a review of all of their documents and everything. And then the pandemic hit, and I don't know what became of that initiative. I have not heard anything about it since. I know many of the families of the murdered and missing children. You
that
know, we're now getting wanted
that Miss Felicia Mayor, the Mayor Felicia Lance Bottom. She went to work for the Biden administration. Okay. Now, go back to what you were saying. The current mayor is Mr. Andre Dickens. Go ahead, sir.
I have no idea what is currently going on. I know Wayne has a new legal team, and I wish him well. But the longer you go and the longer you fight, actually the easier it becomes to deny you, if that's what the courts wish to do. Because they always say, well, you've now been in front of 17 different judges in state and federal court, and they've all refused to give you a new trial, so we're going to do it too. So I have no great optimism that a reinvestigation or rehashing what's happened before is going to result in anything. I suppose the hope I have, and I've seen this before, is that, you know, basically somebody will give a deathbed confession, want to get it off their conscience before they die, and will provide enough information and enough details that, you know, people will be able to say, aha, this was the person or these were the people who did it. But it's been 40 years that that deathbed hasn't happened, but, you know, it could happen at any, it could happen today. It could happen never.
I know they confessed to killing Minister Louis Farrakhan, so maybe they'll do on their deathbed, so maybe they'll do that with Mr. Wayne L. Williams.
Right. You know, we can always hope. And again, I have seen this before in wrongful conviction cases, but it's nothing you can plan on. And so Wayne continues to stay in prison. And as the families, the parents of the murdered and missing children get older and older and, you know, move on or die, there's less and less agitation around the case. And this could be one of those cases that in, you know, 50 years after we're all dead, or at least after I'm dead, people read about in school, if they're allowed to, as, you know, one of these terrible injustices, the same way we look at the Scottsboro Boys or the Exonerated Five, you know, the Central Park Five here in New York City, or other cases, the Leo Frank case, actually from Georgia, where a Jew was subject to a lynch mob and was ultimately murdered. We may read about this in generations to come, but right now, nothing. I can't see anything good happening, though I wish it would.
Okay. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I did this interview in hopes of letting people renew interest in this case. I never believed he was guilty, even though in 1981 I was 11 years old, in 1985 I was like 15 years old. I never believed Mr. Wayne Williams was guilty of that. I always believed it was the Ku Klux Klan or a police officer or something like that. That's what I've always believed since I was about 15 years old. I couldn't understand the details, but at 15 I could. I just never felt that Mr. Wayne Bertram Williams was guilty of attorney Kuby.
Well, I think a lot of people believe that, and certainly there is a lot of evidence to support his innocence. And a lot of evidence to support the involvement of the Klan.
Of the Ku Klux KKK.
Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan, particularly, you know, out of the Stone Mountain area. But
Stone Mountain,
we are where we are. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, Ms. Butler.
I understand that you're representing Mr. Michael Africa.
I have been working with Michael Africa. In fact, I owe Michael a telephone call today. He's on my list of people to call because I need him to call a city councilman who's gotten involved in the case of his uncle, Dennis Africa, who's imprisoned here in New York, serving a 50-to-life sentence for committing two robberies on the same day with a pellet gun. So, you know, you figure, okay, it was not a good thing to do, and we all think that he did the wrong thing, but he's done 30 years on a 50 to life, so you know something else was going on.
Yes, so with Africa. Ms. Pam Africa, Ms. Janet Africa, and Ms. Janine Africa. I'm very familiar with Africa in that case.
Right, I know. I heard your interview with them that you had done a bit ago. So.
Yes, so I did 3 or 4 interviews. Last interview I did was 3 months ago.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I listened to that before I came on with you to make sure you were real. And you are real.
Check me out. You're real, attorney. You're renowned. You know that, don't you?
All right. Well, I have to run, and I do have to call Mike Africa. So we will hopefully talk again.
Thank you, Attorney Ronald L. Kuby. Thank you for coming on the Queen of Show Talk, Angela. But you're welcome to come back, sir.
Thank you so much, Ms. Butler. Have a good day.
You too, Attorney Kuby. Night, everyone. You're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. That's attorney Ronald L. Kuby. Ronald L. Kuby is the attorney who assisted Mr. Wayne Williams in his case for his appeal and things like that. Mr. Wayne Williams has a new attorney. He is dubbed the Atlanta child murderer, which he was never charged or convicted of any murders. People widely have always believed the Ku Klux Klan did this, and they were involved in it. As you heard, the FBI had information. The FBI had information about confessions by the Ku Klux Klan, and they sat on it. So if Mr. Wayne, they did not believe Mr. Wayne Williams killed the other two men either. I believe Mr. Wayne Williams framed personally. I've known about this case since I was 11 years old. I didn't fully understand it until I was about 15, but I never believed Mr. Wayne Bertram Williams was guilty of any murders. I believe he picked the police, though, and I believe he was a black man who was wrongly convicted, and we hear about this all the time. But, you know, we're talking over 20-some murders, maybe at least 22 murders. And someone, like he said, it was called the list. Someone made the list, someone didn't. It was selective. It was selective of who made the murder list. And the murders, like he said, is not stopped in Georgia. They have not stopped in Atlanta. There are still more murders. There are still murders in other places of little children. So they're still killing little black children. So, you know, he said he was going to put his dick down his throat and strangle him with his dick, so, you know, it's on recording. So you all decide. Do you think Mr. Wayne Bertram Williams guilty of any murders? I personally do not. That's my personal opinion. But everybody else, you make up your own mind. You make up your own mind. I'm supposed to be objective. I'm supposed to be very objective. But the rest of you, you decide. You decide. He said the families didn't really believe he did it either. So anyway, everyone, thank you for listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Thank you all. Continue to support the show. I take donations. You can donate to me at angelabutlershow@gmail.com. It's my PayPal address. My Cash App is $DLOIS230. Again, my Cash App is $DELOIS230. My name is in lowercase. Again, my Cash App is $DELOIS, all lowercase, the number 230. Support my show. My PayPal address is AngelaButlerShow@gmail.com. And once again, enjoy the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Look forward to doing another interview with someone and educating and informing everyone of current day things and things that have happened a long time ago, like in the 80s.